waiting the longest time to be back together, and it's wonderful. It really, really is to see each and every one of you this morning. Praise God, it really, really is. Just want to start off by reading from Psalm 122, verses 1 to 2. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." And it's just wonderful to be in the Father's house this morning and to have fellowship with the Lord. My reading today is going to be from Nehemiah chapter 8 from verses 1 to 12. I might have to put my teeth in for some of the pronunciations in here because some of the names, so just bear with me as I go through these 12 verses. But we'll start in verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which had been commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women and others who could understand. And all the people listened alternatively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shemaiah, see where I'm going with this, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedadiah, Mishael, Malachiah, Zechariah and Meshullam. Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him before he was standing above them. And he opened it, and all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, Amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Yamin, Achub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Pelaliah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving meaning so that people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this day is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them.
I think you need a medal.
Well, I thought we'll all be leaving to do this, but I didn't know that was...
I'm going to give it to anybody else to do.
Okay, but I really felt the Lord lay this on my heart this morning. I didn't really understand why at first, but he began to lead me and show me more as I went along, as he usually does. Initially, I thought the Lord had given me the words of Nehemiah and Ezra when we were seeking the Lord for direction in the church earlier in the summer, when we had that big meeting on the Monday night at the Countess. And when I felt led to read Nehemiah 8 today, it seemed that the Lord had led us full circle, and as we just read in the text. Now the people are back in Jerusalem, reading the law, praising God, as we are back in this building again this morning. So yes, there's certainly relevance there. And we, like our spiritual ancestors, the Israelites, are like able to do likewise today. We're able to come together for the first time in a long time. So I thought, okay, Lord, what is it the Holy Spirit wants me to share today? Brilliant, like, you know, this is a great text. But then he showed me something quite remarkable about this reading. And it's so amazing that it just blew my mind. Now, Russell sort of touched on it already this morning. It says in verse 2 and 3 that Ezra read from the book of the law on the first day of the seventh month. Now, usually when we sort of see things like this in Scripture, we just pass over it. But this day does have a lot of significance to it. In the Jewish calendar, the first day of the seventh month is the month of Tishri. I can say that, okay. We would know that, as Russell's already pointed out, as the Jewish New Year or Rosh Hashanah, which happens to start tomorrow on the 6th of September. I was not aware of this fact when the Lord gave me Nehemiah 8 today, as today's reading. And I was staggered when I saw the correlation here. Not how it only related to Scripture, or the Scripture that the Lord had placed on my heart to share at the meeting earlier in the summer, but how it seemed relevant to us meeting as a fellowship again. How remarkable that our meeting again together as a group falls on the eve of a new year, but in conjunction with such a massive biblical event, such as reading the law in Nehemiah. Praise God for that. Now, Rosh Hashanah leads into something known as the Days of War, a time when Jewish people all over the world will spend time confessing their sins and taking a lot of time introspectively looking back on the year that culminates in the Day of Atonement, one of the holiest days in the Jewish calendar. This happens over a 10-day period, and then is followed by Sukkot, or the Festival of Booths, a very joyful and happy celebration that looks back to the times of wanderings of the Jews in the desert, the time of the early Israelites. These holy days will have a particular significance leading up to the return of Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the spring festivals, and he will fulfill the autumn ones before his second coming. So these events that are currently being celebrated do have a prophetic nature. But I guess many of us today will be looking back on the last year or more, I would imagine quite introspectively, at all that's unfolded in our lives. For many of us, and I think all of us, it's been a difficult time. Not meeting as a church and not having fellowship with one another has been really difficult for all of us. Perhaps the worry of unemployment or financial concerns would have troubled many of us also. Perhaps losing someone dear or taking time to look after sick people has been a real challenge. You know, those that are unwell. And this has been more difficult in that backdrop of COVID. You know, not being able to attend weddings, visit our loved ones in hospitals, not being able to reach out to the vulnerable and isolated amongst us, or seeing our kids, parents, grandkids, friends, etc. Yes, many of those memories and feelings won't be good ones, tinged with sadness, loss, and particularly the time of loss, not being able to spend with the people we love the most. Ezra and Nehemiah had gathered the people together here. They just returned from a 70-year exile. In this instance, it was because the nation had fallen into sin and idolatry. But true to his word, at the end of that chastisement, God had brought his people home and was preparing this time. Although still hundreds of years away, he was preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. What a sight this must have been. A multitude of people giving praise and being overwhelmed in their adoration before God. We too have been away for some time. But friends, today is a new beginning for us. Isaiah 43 verse 19 says this: "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." It wouldn't be unfair to say that as a church and as individuals, we've been in a wilderness of some description. But this can be the start of something new for us, corporately and in our personal lives. Jesus, in John 7, verses 37 to 39, declares, "He is the living water, and if we are in him, streams of living water will flow out from our hearts." Water sustains life, it causes things to grow. There's no existence without it, and only in Christ can we find that constant replenishment and all that we need for our lives. Throughout all of this, he has sustained us, he has fed us, and I believe he's going to lead us to fertile pastures spiritually, where we will find even more streams to drink from. Certainly in our lives now, but also into eternity, that great promise that we have. You know, you hear a lot of slogans like Build Back Better or the Great Reset that are often thrown out from media, politicians, industrialists, other focus groups. At best, this means an attempt to reset and reshape the world policy after this awful pandemic. But I suspect it's more likely the work of Satan in bringing a one world government system together under the guise of peace and safety. We need to be very wary of such programs and such slogans when they're proclaimed. There's only one who can build back better, only one, the carpenter from Nazareth, who happens to be the greatest architect in the universe. And if an individual or a world system doesn't build on him, then he, the rock, is going to fall right down on them. Verse 8 says, "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave sense and helped them to understand the reading." What was happening in this passage back then was that the scribes and the teachers of the law were helping the people to understand what was written in the book of Moses. Now, the problem was the majority of people who were present, certainly the younger ones, could no longer speak Hebrew. They had picked up the tongue of Aramaic during their time in Babylonia and Persia, and that had become the common language, the lingua franca of the day. So the scribes and the priests were translating the scriptures so they could comprehend what was being read. They had to be translated for them. The scribes were skilled in the languages of that day, and they were very precise in conveying the Hebrew into the Aramaic. Now, praise God, today there are some wonderfully gifted expositors of God's word. They are diminishing, sadly, but there is still real quality to be found out there. But those ancient scribes and the real spirit-led teachers that we have today will never dilute or change the context or the meaning of God's word. Be very discerning of those wacky teachers, and there's loads of them out there, who will do all sorts of monkey tricks to fit into a particular modern context, to appease a modern audience, particularly in today's political climate. Now, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to convey the gospel to a world that is pretty much biblically ignorant, and we must be able to convey that truth in a comprehensible fashion. But we never add or subtract from the plain meaning, and to do so is to shortchange the meaning of salvation, the actual gospel message. We don't want to compromise. In Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 to 4 it says the following: "For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they will have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables." You won't have to look too far to find many churches and teachers going down this road, sadly. And I pray that as a fellowship, small as we are, that we would always adhere to God's word with as much integrity and honesty as we possibly can. Amen. In verse 9, Ezra and the scribes are teaching the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. "Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord." When God's Spirit and Word move together, it can bring out a plethora of emotions. Perhaps He brings conviction that leads to us to repent and be in that right place with Him. Maybe it's the Word we need at a special moment in our lives that brings clarity or even relief in a desperate situation. The Word of the Lord should always touch our hearts, and when He speaks, our life should never be the same. Perhaps it will call us to cry or fall face down in gratitude, as we read earlier in the chapter, or just to love Him more and to rededicate our commitment and our lives to Him. Perhaps some of us are sensing this morning, we're sensing that. Do we need to be revived today? Do we need that ignition again? Do we need to realign ourselves to His Word and to walk with Jesus, Yeshua, closer? And as a body here, do we need to make a new start, corporately, a new chapter in the life of New Connections, wherever the Lord may lead us? Just finishing off today, after hearing the word of the Lord, the crowds have dispersed, and what a marvellous ending to this time of worship and study that they must have had. Go your way, eat the fats, the meats, drink the sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not sorrow, for the Lord your God is your strength. So they went their way to eat and drink, to send portions to those without, and rejoiced greatly because they understood the words that were spoken to them. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. After they had heard the word and the law of the Lord, they went to their homes and ate and sent portions to those without. We're truly fed when we come together and feed on God's word. We come away, we are full, we are nourished. We have taken off Jesus, the bread of life, and the Lord wants to feast us to feast on His word and to be satisfied in Him. But just looking at verse 10, it said, send portions to those who have nothing prepared. Yes, it's wonderful to be fed, and important that we have fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 states that, doesn't it? Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. And we should do this every time it is humanly possible. But we need to share our portions with those who are without, those who don't know Christ in this life. We all know people, our family, children, parents, whoever. It's good to give away what we have received so that others may participate in the gift of the gospel and salvation with us. So, as we've been together this morning, a new start for us as a church, very exciting. Let's continue to be enveloped by God's word and never cease to be in wonderment in what He is wanting to communicate to us. May we be like those Israelites that gathered in the square, who mourned and wept, yet whose hearts were full of joy and full of praise at the reading of the law, who went away full and feasted, but gave to others out of the richness that the Lord had bestowed upon them. Amen. Amen. I'll just finish with a prayer. Oh Lord, thank You for that word today. Lord, what a blessing it is to be together today in Your house. And Lord, as we've been in our own sort of exile over these last 18 months, Lord, we've been away. We've come together today. We've looked at Your word. We've praised You. And Lord, we're building again, Lord. We're building that temple here in the life of this church, Lord. We've stones that have been broken down, but stones that can be used again to build what You want to do. And Lord, I just pray that as we continue to meet, not just on a Sunday, Lord, which is brilliant, but with house groups and prayer groups and everything that we do as a body, Lord, revive us again, Lord. Blow Your Holy Spirit into our lives. And Lord, have Your will and Your purpose in the direction of this church. Be with my brothers and sisters this week. I pray Your protection over them.
and keep them safe. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And Charlotte off, Happy New Year.